Praise God. Amen. Beautiful song, wasn't that? Beautiful song. I have up on the screen here. Well, let's turn first to a text, Matthew 14. And this is the story of Jesus calling Peter to walk on water. So it's Matthew 14. And would you just stand with me, please, change your position and also stand for the reading of the word. Verse 25. Can you read it out loud with me? Here we go. Ready? 1, 2, 3. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. Well, they were troubled. They saw him walking on the sea, and they were troubled, and they cried out. Verse 27. But straightway, you're doing good reading with me, thank you. Let's do it. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Now, sense of humor. Imagine, be not afraid, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. That's one thing I want to say today about humor. I want to share a little bit about the value of a sense of humor. So look at each other for a moment and just laugh. It's a big joke, okay? Like, look at each other and laugh. You guys aren't doing it that much. All right. Okay. We have a great need in life to have a sense of humor. We have a great need for it. Even being silly. Okay. Being silly. Now, we're going to have a pastor's choir. Hey. Okay. So we're going to start that a week from today. We're going to have a pastor's choir. We're going to sing Sunday night a week from now. And we're not necessarily good singers, but we're going to have a good time. Why? Because the Bible says make a joyful noise. Didn't say make a joyful melody or harmony. It just said a noise. That's okay. So we qualify. All right. All right, now the Lord is walking on water, and he says, be of good cheer. Maybe we could say, be relaxed, enjoy what you see, recognize it is me, do not be afraid. It is I, be not afraid. Fear is something that can increase anxiety in life, can increase. We can be more and more worried in time about things in life. But a merry heart does good like medicine, in Proverbs 17:22. Now, let's go to the next part, please. Let's go to verse 28. We're reading it together out loud, verse 1, 2, 3. And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." Where in the world did he get the idea? Where did he get the idea? If that is you, then bid me come on the water. This is an adventure. Adventure of faith. You may be seated. Up on the map, I have the area where we live. We live in Baltimore and near Washington. And with the map, I'll make white mark for where we have by faith. On Saturday, we get in the car, a small group of us, 4, 5, or 7, and we go within an hour, hour and a half, we drive to a small town. And how do we decide where we want to go but by prayer? So I have in my office this map of this area, and I'm praying about the towns and the cities, and I want to meet people. We go by faith, and it's an adventure. Do you want to know how you could have an adventure in your life? Yes. How? Yeah, by faith. Many ways. One of them is to provoke people to think. People you don't know, people that you've never met before. People are the greatest thing going on in the world. People are a lot of fun. People are interesting, and also people are very dangerous. And also people are thinking. I have a statistic here. Sometimes we don't realize how many people are asking big questions in life. Oops. The statistics may surprise you. According to pollster George Gallup, 8 out of 10 Americans say religion is at least fairly important in their lives. Now, it doesn't mean people go to church, but it means that they believe it's important. And then it says, public opinion researcher George Barna has found that among unchurched Americans, and there are a lot of them, 1 out of 5 of them reads the Bible, and nearly 7 out of 10 pray in a typical week. You know that many Americans are asking big questions about life. What is the meaning? Is Jesus the answer? Is it real? Does it make sense? Is it important? Should I believe or not? Actually, I have been with unbelievers riding in a car, and as I'm sitting in the back seat, I'm thinking about how to talk to them about Christ, and they, two of them, start talking, and they are asking these questions between each other, and I'm sitting in the back thinking, what should I say? I want this to continue. They are wondering about different religions and talking about faith and atheism and how do they know and what do Christians believe. It's fun. If you're at the working place and there's a break room, coffee break room at a school or police station or fire station or hospital or in a cafeteria, and you're there and you say those statements that are shocking. Like, I don't believe in evolution. I believe God made the universe, like in a moment, and he made animals and he made people. That would get it people's attention. I believe Jesus is the only, I believe in heaven and I believe in hell. And then just be quiet. The room empties. And one remains. Is abortion killing a human being? Yes. You could ask it in the coffee room. And as you speak lovingly and in the heart from things that you really believe, maybe people ask questions. In a way, it's an adventure. It's an adventure to say that I believe all the religions in the world are, it's rooted in a deep human need to somehow pay for our sin, pay for our mistakes. And in the religion, oftentimes there isn't any living God. It's just guilt and payment. And I lived like that in my Christianity. I lived in guilt and payment. I felt that paying for my sin was what Christianity was about until I met Jesus. When I met Jesus, I realized my sins are gone. In Psalm 32, Romans 4, 7, I found a new life. The new birth. How about in the coffee room you say this statement, if you are born once, you die twice. But if you're born twice, you die once. I am confused. But you can learn what that means in the Bible. And it's true. If you're born twice, that means born physically. The second time, you're born again spiritually, so you will die once physically. But actually, even then, you won't die because you will never die because you believe in Christ. But physically, you do. But if you're only born once, then you die twice. You die physically and in the lake of fire, the second death. Well, if you said that in the coffee room, the room is empty. Somebody's calling the police. That's an adventure. You know, when Peter said, "Call me Lord," we wonder where it came from. I think it came from love. I think it came from being outward. I think it came from an adventurous spirit. I think it came from seeing Jesus. If Jesus could do this, if Jesus is walking, that would be very cool if I could walk on the water. And he did. But I don't think God cares so much about us walking on water like that. But he wants us to discover the satisfying relationship that we are made to have with him, even in troublous times. Even when in our country we see a whole political party adopt a platform that parallels Romans chapter 1, verses 20 to 32. That's incredible that they would adopt a whole list of things that are written there in Romans 1. And by the way, in our church, we don't tell you who to vote for, but we tell you about God and the righteousness of God and the love of God, and we are citizens, and we have a responsibility to vote. And sometimes we get what we vote for, sometimes we don't. But it's part of the process of being a human being and being an American citizen. I have a privilege, I can vote. What do you believe? What do you believe that is written in your heart? What are you voting for? What do you believe in your heart that's important? That's not our message, because even though I vote and then I go on in my life, well, no matter what is happening, with a mission. And I have two things that I want to say this morning about this. This is looking up at the map. A few weeks ago, a month or more, we went to Glen Burnie with Manny Harrison. We drove around, we ate some, and we talked and prayed, and we said, let's have a church in Glen Burnie, Maryland. Manny says, let's go. And they're down there looking around and soul winning and sharing and praying. They're going to find somebody. They're going to invest in them. Yeah, something's going to happen in the spirit of one person. One person. Sometimes we think we're talking about millions, but we're actually talking about one. One person. That's fun. One person. I remember years ago, Elena Bridges, who's sitting in the back there in Finland, she was like 16 years old. It was about 70 years ago. Oh, no. And she, in the Finnish high schools, you could go on the loudspeaker and speak to all the students in a morning devotional for a few minutes. And she would do that in her school in a small town in western Finland called, Loima, Finland. And I heard about her through her sister, and she was a fireball because she would tell the whole school about Jesus Christ. That was awesome. But it takes one person, like Lena. It takes one person, like the woman at the well in John 4. It takes one person in Glen Burnie. So the next week, we go up here to Northeast Maryland. We're walking through the street. The streets are empty at that time, maybe a few people here and there. And we don't know anybody. We're just walking through praying, looking for somebody. I end up at the fire station. There's firemen outside sitting on the sidewalk. And I walk up and they said, you want to sit down and be with us? I go, yeah, sure. So they don't know me. I don't know them. They're wondering if I'm a Democrat. Because you know what? Because I'm from Baltimore. You're from Baltimore. It's like, oh. Okay. So anyway, we have a talk. We talk about Jesus. There's silence. There's quietness. There's touch in the heart. I could see it. It was good. It was maybe five guys. They've seen fires, they've seen car accidents, they've seen trouble. But you never know. We drive back. We tell our stories. We encourage each other. There's five of us in the car, six or seven. Next week, we go up here, Hampstead. We do the same thing. The street is empty. We start knocking on doors. I meet a kid in the house. I talk to him. And I just think, what's he doing? He's playing video games. He's 24 years old. Do you have a job? No. Do you go to school? No. You know. No. I say, you know, I understand you. I understand how empty life can be. I know that. But I'm here for one reason. I don't know you. You don't know me. I'm here. I came from Baltimore to say something to you. That Jesus Christ is real. That was fun. We get in the car. One or two or five or seven of these different encounters with people. It's an adventure. You know what else? Another adventure is to talk to your relatives about the Lord. Man, is that called an adventure or a disaster? Huh? Is that tough? Sometimes. Sometimes. Scary. Scary. How about your neighbor? How about it? Lord Jesus, if that's you, call me. Call me if that's you on the water. Because people aren't supposed to walk on water. People cannot reach their relatives. People cannot change a life. I have a Democrat. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. Oh, pray for me that I don't get too, you know, that I stay in my place. Okay. No, but hey, you can't change a drug addict. You can't change a pedophile. You can't change a pornographer. You cannot change a thief. You can't. Jesus, if that's you walking on the water, call me. Guys, I want an adventure. I got to see, is it real? Are you real? Is this real? That's amazing. So the next week, we go out to Westminster, or the sequence isn't right, but anyway, we go to Westminster. I've told you the story. There's a guy, I don't want to talk to him. I just can tell by looking at him, I don't want to talk to him. But I do anyway, just by faith. He takes a piece of paper, he goes, oh, I went to this Bible school. I know Pastor Love. I go, when were you there? He said, 2001. Yeah, it changed my life. Wow. So we get in the van after a couple hours and we grab something to eat and come back home. I feel something good about it. I feel that it's right. I feel that it's a walk of faith. This past weekend, a group went to Tennessee from Federal Hill, I think a van of 15 people. Perio took a group to West Virginia. Pastor Shabelli and a group has been up to Philadelphia, and then, of course, Wilmington. And Jason Moore is going to Frederick. And we're praying for this to happen, because from here and from there, how many does it take? One. And what happens? If Jesus Christ comes into the heart, if his peace and his life, his forgiveness and his grace comes into your life, that's called salvation, isn't it? And you know, they went to West Virginia, and then yesterday we went to Emmitsburg, out there somewhere. It was raining. Streets are empty. Honestly, we didn't see a person on the sidewalk for a period of time. And then, so we just go to the door, start knocking on doors. And it was amazing. One woman said, thank you for coming. Somebody told me about Jesus a long time ago, and I've been thinking about it. What do you have to say to me? You know, it isn't hard, but it takes faith. But as you share, sometimes your own mouth ministers to you. It says that the tree of the righteous is a tree of life, and we're satisfied from our own mouth that the words of God in Proverbs 18:22 are fitted in our lips. And we start to speak in terms of faith. And even as we're talking, it is ministering. And we're realizing that this is what God wants to do. Speak the word, Lord, and your servant will be healed. Thy word was hid. Your word is hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. The entrance of your word gives light, understanding to the simple. It can take a simple guy like me, and like you, it can take a simple person who would not know and give light and understanding and give us purpose and call us. And I think when Peter was walking on the water, he was like saying, like, is this normal when I walk with Jesus? Like, is this real as I'm walking on the water? Can this be happening? And we might say, well, in the gospel, that's a miracle. But today, I'm living with a lot of trouble and pain in life. That's how it is for some people. Turn with me now to John chapter 4, please. And this is the text for today. Chapter 4, verse 3. He left Judea and departed again into Galilee. He must needs go through Samaria. This was north of Jerusalem. I don't know, maybe 40, 50 miles north. And it was the way you wouldn't normally go. Like that was overland through dangerous territory, but you would normally go up the Jordan River, right up to Galilee, to the Decapolis, and then go over west and up around that way. But this way he went through the Samaritan territory, which was, they were antagonistic with the Jews. They were not so friendly. It'd be like maybe people going to parts of the city or parts of the country or parts of the world where it would not be that convenient or very favorable. But that you would go because of God. You would go because of faith. You'd go because of the gospel. And that's what Jesus did here in this story. It's really a lot of fun. The adventures of missions. The adventures of faith. There are many of them. On boats, on planes, on trains, on buses and cars. All kinds of things that we have done by walking, by donkey, by horseback, by all kinds of means. Up mountains, down mountains, in deserts, in big cities, in ghettos, everywhere. For me, my experience has been quite wide, but not everything that I just mentioned, but I've been on horses and that kind of a thing and in the sea, but never, you know, nothing overly dramatic. It doesn't matter because it's not the adventure itself. It's finding God's will and finding the joy of bringing the message somewhere. Wow. Pastor Gromov told me the story. He was in Turkmenistan, and a Russian drug addict who was a soldier in Afghanistan and became a heroin addict. And he was lost. He couldn't, in his soul, he was in a lot of physical problems. He was very sick. He was a heroin addict for many years. He could not sleep at night. And he watched the movie, I forget the CD, The Life of Jesus, in the Gospel of Luke, I believe, and Pastor Gromov met him, and Pastor Gromov said, Jesus can heal you. He said, what do you mean? And he said, Jesus can heal you and take it away. And the man said, I have not slept a whole night of sleep for 5 years. I have not slept for 5 years like a night's sleep. And Pastor Gromov prayed for him. And then the next day, he said to Pastor Gromov, I slept all night. He went through, 3 days later, he got healed of the drug addiction without any withdrawals. It was a miracle. It's amazing. Adventure. I think people don't have any. Or maybe that's why they do extreme sports and try to kill themselves. Diving out of a plane without a parachute and hoping something will happen on the way down. I mean, why do they do extreme sports there? They don't have any adventure. They don't have any, like, what are they looking for? They're looking for something. And when Jesus came into the world, He knew what we needed. And that's why, by the way, it seems like in the Gospel of Luke, there's such a contrast with the Pharisees and Jesus that it's almost funny the way the Pharisees talked to them and the way he was. Like he was loose. He was free. He was wild. He was like crazy. He was challenging them. Like the religion was like totally unserving the people. It was bondage. It was emptiness. I don't like religion. Religion is not God. Much of it is not God. I want Jesus. I want Jesus to go and go to this part of the area there. And he sat in the well. Verse 5. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Shishar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. The sixth hour is noontime, because they count from 6 in the morning as the first hour. So the sixth hour is noon, hot sun, and nobody goes to, they get the water in the morning and they get the water in the late afternoon because it's so hot during the daytime. But he was there at noon, and this woman came who was notorious in the town as some kind of a woman that had 5 husbands, and the man living with her was not her husband. So maybe she went there at noon so that she could stay away from the gossips that were in the town. Maybe stay away from shame. Maybe stay away from people that would talk a lot. Maybe just to avoid any kind of person. She was a woman who, in a way, maybe we could say was a victim of her own bad decisions. And she was somehow suffering from it. But Jesus is after her. And this is what the story is. Verse 7. Then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. You know, sometimes you should ask people for things. Well, ask them for, hey, could I have some money? That'd be one way to start a conversation. Could you sell me a good car? What's your fate? Could you help me? Could you help me carry this? My car ran out of gas. Could you help me? I've got to find some gas. They may be needed. People are needed. That's one way to start a connection. Can you help me with this? Can you answer a question? I have a question. Can you give me some help? It's an adventure. People are talking. Some people are thinking. Some people are seeking. We met a man on the street in Emmitsburg yesterday. Young guy, a college student at the university there. And he was stone quiet. And I handed him a tract. He stopped, he stopped. I said, I want to share a good message. He said, what? I said, God loves you. Then he's not saying anything. So I just keep talking a little bit. Stop. He's quiet, doesn't move, listening, a little more, talking. And then he said, I don't know what he's thinking. He said, thank you. You don't know how much I needed this. Then Pastor Randy said, well, you have a problem. He goes, yeah. Pastor Randy said, is it a girl? Under his breath, he said, usually it is. He said, yeah, yes, it is. I'm always having problems in this area or in this thing. I don't know if it was the same girl or what. He was serious, and he was very thankful. I mean, we spent a little time, and then he left. You know, we are called to be fishers of men, and we have the bait. We also have a hook. We have God God is the hook, and that what we say is the bait. How we talk to people, how we love them, how we listen to them. And this woman has a need, and he says, give me a drink. Give me a drink from the, you know, I am thirsty. I am weary from my journey. And in a way, you know, in hospital rooms, in courthouses, sometimes I've been evangelizing outside of a courthouse and just studying people as they come out. Some people come out quickly and they go away, like they're running away from it. And sometimes they come out and maybe they're devastated. And maybe they linger for a little while. Maybe they are in trouble. And maybe they need a word. And maybe God is the one that will answer. Do you know, I might never see them again, but I could say, if you're in trouble, it's okay. God understands you. And God forgives, and God answers. What a good message that is. He said to the woman at the well, give me to drink. And then it goes on, verse 8. The disciples were gone to buy meat at the city. And then said the woman of Samaria, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask drink of me? Why does race always come into the picture? Why is this a racial thing? You being a Jew, how could you ask me, a Samaritan, for a drink? Why is there so much talk about it? Isn't life deeper than that? Didn't Martin Luther King Jr. say, I have a dream that in the future my child will be judged not by the color of his skin, but by the character of his heart? But we've shifted it. We're talking more about our skin than about our character. We're talking more about color and race than we are about character. And I think if Martin Luther King Jr. was here, he'd say, I'm saying it's not based on the color of our skin. It's based on the character of our heart. Are you a good man or a bad man? Are you a righteous man or an unrighteous man? That's the issue. Are you a humble man or a proud man? Who are you? What's your character? What's in your heart? Are you an honest person or dishonest person? That's what's important. So she said this racial thing with Jesus. But Jesus is so good because he goes to where she's really living. Yeah, I don't care if you're a Samaritan or a Jew or who you are. There's something that you need. And it's a well of water that I have access to. I've got a well of water of everlasting life. I can draw from it. It's a deep well. It's the deepest well you could ever imagine. I have words that do not end. I have righteousness that is satisfying. I have a holiness that I'll give to you and you will find me. You will know God. That's why I came, that you would know God. What a word. Isn't it beautiful? I read a story about, and I told it at 9 o'clock, this he was actually a journalist in India. He was American, but he was watching this conversions and salvations with a missionary team, and many Hindus getting baptized in a river, and one man from the village watching, and he was drawn, and he went to his house, and he told him about Jesus. He was very interested. Then he suddenly felt a wall went up. The wall went up in the man's mind and heart. And he didn't know why. So like later, he was talking to his Indian friend. And he said, what do you think happened? Why did he shut down? He said, I found out that the man enjoys and is part of cockfighting. You know, when these birds with razor blades attached to their legs are in a fight, okay? So anyway, he likes it, and he does it, cockfighting. And he realized that if he believed in Jesus, then maybe he can't do cockfighting anymore. So he put up the walls and said, thank you very much, goodbye. And I think this is what happens maybe a lot more than we realize. I have something in my life, and I don't want to give it up. I have one young man said, I am very sexually active. That's my lifestyle. That's how I live. If I believe in Jesus, yeah, I can't do that. So I have to choose between, and I choose my sexual life, my activity sexually. That's what I choose. That's what I do. So the story goes like this. Let's read it. I'll explain what I mean in a minute. Look at the verse. It says, verse 10, Jesus answered and said, if you knew the gift of God, could it be that the woman doesn't know the gift of God and him who it is that says to you, give me to drink? You would have asked of him, and he would give you this living water. Do you know why cockfighting would be like a challenge to Christ? Like, I won't believe in Christ because of it? Because I like it, because this is the water that I drink from. This is the well that I have. I come and go from this well. This is the well. But Jesus said to the woman, if you knew the gift of God, that's a thing you don't know, and who is talking to you, I am the Messiah, then you would ask of me, and there's another well that I draw from, and it's a well where you will never thirst again. With your sexual life, you will thirst again. With the cockfighting, you will thirst again. With the stealing, you will thirst again. With your false religion and false God, you will thirst again. But with me, it's over. You'll not thirst anymore. You'll be satisfied. Has that happened to you? If it's happened to you, then you have a message. If that has happened to you and it's growing in you, then you have a ministry. If you have a ministry, then you have an adventure of faith. Like walking on water becomes something that you're, it means that there's a natural life and a transcendental life. It means there's a life that everybody's living, and then there's another life that you are living by faith. And when you are able to share or believe, or trust, or sacrifice, or, turn and believe, then you find yourself filled, and you say, wow, I want to go. In my heart, I want to go with a message to the prison, the nursing home, courthouse, the mall, a parking lot of Sam's Club, a quiet street in a little town in Maryland, maybe in a hospital room with somebody who has a stroke, and to be able to say to them the words and the love and the life, maybe to your grandchildren, maybe to relatives. Maybe the relatives won't understand because they have something like cockfighting in their lives, you know? It's something that they enjoy. They just, that's going to keep them from God. Imagine. It keeps me from God. But if I find God, what do I find? I find life. I find God. I find a deep. And the woman said, you can't get water, everlasting water, because you have nothing to draw it with. Look at this, you know, like, oh. You don't have. But wait a minute. this drawing is not down, it's drawing like this drawing, right? And you know, this is deep, but this is very deep. Jesus could say, oh, I do have something to draw, but not this machine, you know, this pulley system or rope. Not a material rope. I have something to draw. That's my person. And this is everlasting. And this will not condemn you. And this will set you free. And this will encourage you. And this will give you purpose in life. That's another problem that we find in this world, that people are so busy going from work to Walmart, to the health club, to the soccer game, and every other thing, and they are burnt out and empty as they go. And because, you know, if you do this kind of thing, pulling up your water a couple times a day, it tires you out. But if it flows out of your belly, if it's spiritual life that flows out of your belly, it refreshes you and you stay young. You stay young in spirit. You stay young in attitude. You stay young in the freshness of a sense of humor and a kind of satisfying life that you're able to live in. And you just say, you are even also sometimes, honestly, sometimes, I don't know why people are not enjoying life as much as I am. I'm like sometimes wondering why, you know, if you go on an escalator in a big city, and people are coming up and you're going down, and you just wonder, you know, what's wrong? What's wrong with everybody? Why is everybody afraid? Why are they ashamed? Why are they guilty? Why are they fearful? Why aren't they rejoicing? Why isn't there joy in this world? Because it's tough at this well. Yeah, you got to keep going back. And it doesn't satisfy. A dead bird, cockfight. What'd you get? You got a couple bloody birds at the end of the day. Wow, wasn't that fun? Wasn't that cool? Wasn't that good? I don't know. I've never been there. I don't really care about it. But I'm just saying it as an unusual illustration, to be honest, isn't it? Crazy. That two birds would keep me from God. Two birds fighting will keep me from God. Isn't that amazing? I think a Coca-Cola can keep me from God. I think a stupid excuse could keep me from God. I think a stupid thing could keep me from God. Guys, because I don't know what I'm talking about and what I'm doing. I need Christ to come into my life. And I need him to come into my life now. And you might say, America, America, you got problems. And America will say, yeah, we are struggling in a lot of ways. Does anybody have a message? Does anybody have anything that's beyond the water? Could anybody walk on it? Could anybody call us? But it'll never be us, America, no. It'll be one person in Emmitsburg, one person in Glen Burnie, one woman at the well. It'll be one person in Philadelphia. It'll be one person at a time. And that's where you and I come into the picture. We cannot save our country, but we can bring the gospel to the world. We can share it, and we can be part of the solution with this great message. Let's finish up. It's verse 11. Woman said, Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Where is it coming from? Verse 13, whoever drinks of this water shall thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be to him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. You know, when we lived in Finland, I learned this thing I have up here on the map by going out and ministering in small like little towns and places and groups and people's homes and so on. We did it up in New England. We had 121 Bible studies in 1 week on a regular basis up there in New England. We were in Holyoke and Hudson, New York, and Marlborough and Worcester and Peabody and Saugus and Rhode Island and Connecticut. It was an amazing thing we did with people like you and me. And that's what we did. And we learned. We went to Finland. We did the same thing a little bit in Loima. I heard about Leina. We go there. We go to Vaasa. We go to Hyvinkää. We went to Salo. We went to Joensuu. We went to these different Sotkamo, one little town, Sotkamo. And 27 people came out of that village and came into the Bible Speaks. Matti Sirviö, Maria Haking, and Teja Patron, who maybe is here right now. Kiko and Pertti Korhonen, and all the various people. It's just not, you know what? Pastor Matti has been to 5 or 6 countries. I didn't know that. He's a little guy from the woods in Finland. But the Spirit of God did it. And look at years later, what has happened. You know what it means? It means there's a woman somewhere at a well, and she's going to respond, and God's going to do it. And you're going to go to sleep and not know what's going on, but they're going to be awake, and they're saved. They're forgiven. Their name is in the book. God is their Father, and they start walking with God, and the thing happens. That's how it works. In Turkey with Roger and Lizzie and Brittany and the whole thing. That's how it works. It's God's work. And it happens by faith. If you don't want an adventure, I understand. Maybe you're tired, worn out, beat up, hunkered down, hiding behind the couch. I understand how life can be. But if you keep listening and loving yourself and God loving you, God building you up, you might be like Peter saying, Lord, if that's you, call me out on the water. And when you get down, you go over the boat like this, and you're kind of feeling in the water, and somehow it's kind of spongy, and you just start going like this, and there's a little spongy, maybe. We don't know. But he's out there. He could probably think, the guys are looking at me. He turns around. Hey, look at what I'm doing. And he goes out. You know, that's fun. Okay, would you pray with me? Anyone here? Not yet. Not a believer. There's answers to your questions. We want those answered for you. Not all of them, maybe, but some. God will help you understand. Maybe you have doubt. That's normal. That happens. Of course, that's part of life. But God is greater than your doubt. God is speaking to your heart and saying, come to me, I love you. It might be scary, but do it. Believe in him and trust in him. Do you know that there is a heaven, there is a hell, there is Christ, there is a resurrection? It's that simple. It's for sure. Just put your trust in Jesus. He'll help you and teach you. And then for us, Lord, here today, we care about the people around us and where they're at and the needs that they have. And may the Christians throughout the country learn to share their faith. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. If you're accepting Jesus today, raise your hand. Anyone at all, say yes to Jesus. Raise your hand, anybody. Yes to Jesus. Yes to Jesus. Thank you, Lord, in your name. Amen.